Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
And we have arrived.
A roven?
A riven. We have a riven.
We have... I seriously thought you were talking about a ribbon.
No, we have a riven at the end of the year in time for the Slammies.
Yes.
Yay.
Hooray.
The 2012 Slammies, according to the graphic that opened up the show.
I didn't even notice that until I saw that online later.
Just
on.
Just saying.
Fantastic.
I had a little bit of a wait a minute, and then yeah, went online and I was like, yeah.
I'm guessing that's the same guy who put the Michael McGillicuddy banner whenever Christian came out.
That guy.
That guy, man. Why is he still here?
He must be related to somebody.
Yeah, probably. It would be funny if it was Michael McGillicuddy.
It's probably him and JTG have the same blackmail.
Okay, alright, so moving on. So we go to the first category. Like, we won't really talk too much about everything that happened on Raw. But we won't really provide the
correct answers.
The correct answers because
that's what
our awards is coming up, and that is of course the Classies. That'll come to you New Year's week.
Yeah, I mean, yes. We have to wait for the end of the show because what if match of the year happens at TLC?
Right. Which,
like, way to shoot yourself in the foot there.
Exactly. The Slammies, theoretically, should happen after
right.
TLC.
I now know not to buy TLC because they've already told me what the match of the year is.
Right, and it clearly isn't going to happen.
Yes.
this Sunday night.
Exactly. So why should I shell out the money?
Exactly. So we won't necessarily tell you who should have won. We will say maybe who should have won out of the choices they gave us.
Right.
And we will tell you when something is incorrect. Like, the entire LOL moment of the year category should not have happened. They could have easily... Because we're only going to cover what was on the main show. There was a ton that was on WWE.com. Some of it was pretty dumb.
A lot of them were pretty dumb.
Team of the Year could have been on the main show.
Right. Tag Team is a decent, genuine thing.
Or...
Breakout Star of the Year is a
decent, what a maneuver thing. Of the year would have been cool to have that.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, Roman Reigns won that, so that was... Fine, we're fine with that, absolutely.
Right.
But the rest, eh. But LOL moment of the year should not have been on the freaking show.
No.
Although,
of the choices, I'm glad that The Rock won.
Nah.
Glad stretching it.
Yeah, glad seems like too strong of a word.
But
you were content with it.
Yes.
Yes.
I accept it and move on.
Yes.
I will save my rage for later categories.
Okay. Now, we have the Double Cross of the Year. But before we get to that award and the nominees and who won it, how handsome were the Shield in their all-black tuxes?
Yeah. I could get used to that
sharp.
Black tuxes.
Good times.
Good times.
But moving on. Shawn Michaels won Double Cross of the Year for costing Daniel Bryan the championship at Hell in a Cell. Fine.
Honestly, I accept that.
But it's no Mark Henry retirement speech.
I know.
Come on.
That's not really... See, but here's the thing. That's not really a double cross. It's just a swerve.
Right, yeah. It's a cross.
Yeah.
Not a double cross. Just a cross.
So Mark Henry's retirement speech was the best moment in that category of the year.
Yes.
But I don't know if it fits the phrase double cross well enough.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm okay with Shawn Michaels taking it.
Because that was a double cross.
Right. Plus, I'm a big fan of Shawn Michaels on this episode of Raw.
Yeah, just completely, like, trolling everyone.
Exactly.
Trolling Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah, it's been a while since we've got to see...
Good, solid,
heel-ish,
whatever.
Yeah, heel-ish Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Because when he goes all in.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels did not care about anybody
in
the world that
no,
night.
He did not. He won the award for Zero F's Given.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how else to phrase
it. I know, that's the thing. But
that's what he won.
Exactly.
Like, that's the perfect way to say it. But unfortunately, they did not give out that award at the Slammies.
No.
We should probably add that one.
We might need to. That might be an inaugural classy category.
I mean, we've added something every year, so might as well.
All two of them, yes we have.
Yes, exactly. And moving on to Diva of the Year. I try to say that like Justin Roberts. The Diva of the Year. Went to, something that was mathematically incorrect. and grammatically incorrect, I might add. If they said Divas of the Year, this would have worked.
We'd be fine.
But they didn't, and it wasn't, so it's not. So why did the Bella Twins win? Now, if Brie won, you could...
I could even see an argument for it.
I could see someone making an argument for it. That argument would probably be incorrect. But, you know, at least it wouldn't be grammatically wrong.
Right.
Yeah, it really should have been AJ.
Should have been AJ. Caitlyn could have come in second.
You could have made a strong case for Caitlyn.
Caitlyn did some great stuff.
Why
this year.
In the world was Eva Marie
I do not know.
The girl who's just, all she's famous for is Total Divas and everyone hating her.
I do not know.
She's terrible at everything we've seen her try so far, except for Maxim, and that just, you know, that was just her standing there.
Yeah.
So, other than just standing there, she's terrible at everything else.
This was my fear of Total Divas.
Yes.
Was that it would have extensive negative effects on the product that I did watch. And it seems to be doing that.
Yep. Because they wanted to feature everyone on Total Divas, except for JoJo.
Yeah.
Did JoJo secretly get released and they're just not telling us yet?
JoJo was not the Diva of the Year.
No.
But she didn't even get shot.
She wasn't even nominated.
Poor plucky new up-and-comer. Oh, well.
Sure, I don't care that much.
No.
So we go from that. And they kind of redeemed themselves a little bit with the next category.
Mm-hmm.
For Superstar of the Year, it went to Daniel Bryan, who seemed like the only choice for this.
Yes.
We love CM Punk. We're okay with Brock Lesnar, but it had to go to Daniel Bryan.
2013 belongs to Daniel Bryan.
You know, and I mean, yeah, some people can make a case for Cena because he won the Rumble. He beat Rock. Blah, blah, blah.
2013 belongs to Daniel Bryan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just another year on the Cena train for Cena.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But this was something so much more for Daniel Bryan,
right?
Especially with him and the fans, him progressing his career.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it belongs to Daniel Bryan.
So yeah, nothing is more correct on this list than Daniel Bryan winning Superstar of the Year.
Yes. Although I am surprised they didn't put Rock on here. Maybe they were like aiming for Daniel Bryan to win this
because Shawn Michaels was presenting.
Yeah.
I can see them not wanting The Rock to win it.
Yeah, because I mean...
You know.
But then again, there's so many other guys that could have potentially gotten votes away from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Like, Cena and Orton alone would get kids and females on their side, because that's their demographic, where they live.
But, The Rock is somebody I can conceivably see outvoting Daniel Bryan, and they don't want...
Right.
They don't want to have to be like, to do that. The Rock could not be here tonight.
He already did that once for the LOL moment of the year.
Exactly.
And he couldn't even be bothered for Satellite.
Right. Well,
It's LOL moment of the year, so yeah, fine.
And they have the Vicky thing to fall back on.
Right, because it was based on him making fun of her.
Right.
Fine. Next, we had the Fan Participation of the Year, which sounded like the dumbest category next to LOL moment of the year.
Yeah.
Not as dumb, but, you know, at least... The Daniel Bryan chant one.
Yeah, that's fine. What's up, one? You know. Sure. I'm glad Fandangoing didn't, because
that would have given them more reason to further point that out.
Yeah, no.
And that's what really killed it, is whenever Jerry was like, let's all go Fandangoing, everyone. You know, like, that's when it was like, alright, well, you buried it.
Yep. And I don't, like, I love me some Johnny Curtis, and I don't want Johnny Curtis's career to suffer, and I fear it might. But I want WWF to suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Understand.
Just like them capitalizing on everyone doing the Olay chants, and that led to Matadoras.
Right.
You know, it's like, no. This is not what we're doing when we do these chants.
It's not how it works. You don't...
Can't pick and choose who and what we chant for.
Right.
So there you go. Insult of the Year. Fine.
Care.
Yeah, another one we don't really care about. Stephanie won for insulting Big Show. Really should have been AJ.
For the Total Diva pipe bomb thing.
Because that one, you know, it got people talking, and whatever you feel, however you feel about what she said and how she said it, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter, but it did beat out any of the others. Like, Paul Heyman's insults towards CM Punk, it's pretty, like, what specifically? They're just
a lot of standard general stuff kind of there.
And Zeb Coulter, it was like, everything Zeb Coulter has said is apparently valid for this category. Okay, I'm not going to read through those books.
Right.
You know?
So, it's
they really only went, there was only two very specific ones.
Yeah.
The other two just felt like they just needed to, you know, fill out the category.
This is not a category I cared for.
No.
Next up, we have Extreme Moment of the Year.
Yeah, I was trying to think, and I was like, I wasn't really too keen on all the nominations, but then I was trying to think, I was like, well, there's not really anything extreme going on right now. Should they? I mean, they could have picked anything involving CM Punk and Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Anything from that match.
I mean, that whole match. Honestly, I think the thing that I flipped out the most was the first time Daniel Bryan did the flying knee.
Yeah. Because
it was so...
I mean, that wasn't necessarily extreme, but...
But I think it was so out of nowhere, unexpected. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know? Humans can do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with... Yeah, CM Punk exacting vengeance on Paul Heyman, I'm fine with that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the best moment of that feud. They really could...
I mean, no, it wasn't the best moment of feud, and it was just... of the ones picked, I would have honestly taken the Ryback spearing John Cena.
Really?
At least stuff broke.
Yeah, because, I mean, Shield powerbombing Undertaker really wasn't all that much different than what they've done to everyone else.
Right, that's the only big deal is that was the Undertaker.
Right.
And
then Wyatt family crushing Kane at SummerSlam, I was like, yeah, you're making people remember that match really wasn't as good as we were hoping for.
They just beat him.
Yeah, like, that was it. And they did the chair, or the stair thing to his head.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't look threatening.
So, yeah, I would go of the choices, I would go Ryback, Spearing Cena, through the board.
Fair enough.
Just because stuff broke.
Stuff, yeah. And here's where they go off the rails. Because match of the year, first of all, I would say two of them probably should have belonged there in the nominations.
First of all, they only picked four.
Right.
And I could right now name you five worthy contenders for match of the year.
Absolutely. Undertaker and CM Punk, it deserves to be in the category, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Kodus versus The Shield belongs to be in there. It was a very enjoyable match, and it's what made that pay-per-view.
Right.
You know, it's what made that pay-per-view tolerable. The steel cage match between Triple H and Brock Lesnar had no business being in there.
It was a bad match. It was technically the best of that feud.
But it still wasn't... Not even... I wouldn't even put that in the top 50% of the year.
Yeah.
You know? And John Cena and Rock, twice in a lifetime, definitely should have been on there because that match was horrible. And they were pretty much getting booed out of the building.
Yeah.
And that's what won because it's Cena and Rock.
Right.
And again, we won't tell you who we thought should have won out of all the matches because that we'll take care of that on the classies, but I trust this when we tell you no, this should not have won.
I will not be picking John Cena and The Rock.
I will not as well. Of the four that they gave us, I would have gone with Undertaker and Cena.
Of the four, Undertaker.
Because that was a very complete storyline that happened after Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And it was a complete storyline. The build was really, really good. It was something a little different than what is the usual. Because, you know, usually the feud is like, I want to go after Streak, and that's really it. You know, and then they start listening all the reasons why they're
worthy of being the right. Streak breaker.
Right, and Taker usually just stands there.
Yep.
But this was something different. And the match was really good. The entrances were epic for both guys.
God, the entrances...
I recently rewatched WrestleMania 29, and that was the only match that I actually really paid attention to, because it was very well done.
Yeah,
probably the only well done match of WrestleMania 29. I mean, The Shield was fine.
Yeah,
but that's because it's The Shield.
Right. No, I understand. I do understand.
And yeah, like I said, Kodust and Shield, it made Battleground tolerable. You know, other than the Bray Wyatt and Kofi Kingston match, there really wasn't all that much to pick from.
No. But, so. I mean, the big thing here is there were some really good matches. I haven't finalized. There's, you know, matches I need to go back and watch.
But, I mean, granted, you know, if we picked all of the good matches, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk would be in multiple of them.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to go with one guy for each, whatever, you know.
But Daniel Bryan doesn't have a match on here.
No. No.
The Superstar of the Year was not even nominated for Match of the Year.
I would have thought they would have at least put him and Cena.
Yeah.
At the very least, put Daniel Bryan and Cena.
So, I don't know.
But then again, if you think about it, they don't have a Randy Orton match on there either.
Mm-mm.
Which, but, I mean, you know, their match on Raw, the first match that they had on Raw, when Randy was still a face,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, Daniel Bryan finally beat him, you know, that was a good match. It was a good moment, you know,
because
it closed out the show, and, you know, there was this big celebration from Daniel at the end of it, and, you know, because he won doing the Yes Lock with the kendo stick across his face.
Mm-hmm.
It was really well done, I thought. So, if they went with that, I would be okay with it. It was, you know, I would put that in the top 25% of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't really, that'd be my top five, but I could understand that.
Right.
At least involve two of your bigger guys in the company.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was very disheartened to read this lineup ahead of time.
Yeah, I would have thought for sure one of the SummerSlam matches would have been in it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought absolutely for sure.
But
they weren't, so whatever.
Anyway, that was the Slammies.
That was the Slammies. And yeah, something big, something excitable happened at the end of Raw this week.
That's the thing, yeah. We kind of meandered through Raw. Yeah, yeah, you know, pay attention to who wins the Slammies.
Cause I mean, yeah, and the Slammies are fun every year.
Yeah.
You know, they're fun to either make fun of or get upset at, you know, because they picked the wrong people or whatever.
Well, that's how award shows are, you know?
Right, yeah, absolutely. That's how we are when we watch, like, the Oscars or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing.
So, but then they have the suspending of the titles ceremony. I don't remember what they call it.
The ascension of the titles.
Sure, they're gonna hang up the titles.
Their spiffy new gold handle thing.
Yeah, and it will, they had that dual title handle thing built for this one thing, because they'll never have two titles again.
Nope, never again.
So,
probably hang somewhere in whatever expo at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Fan access or something.
Yep, because WWE is the company embodiment of hoarding.
No kidding.
Which I appreciate. Because I like being able to, like, you know, have knowledge that this random match...
Because you're a hoarder yourself.
Well, whatever. I like that random match between these two randoms.
How many copies of Star Wars do you have?
No. I can go and watch Randy Orton, face Randy Orton, go against the prototype John Cena heel at OVW. Because WWE keeps everything.
Fair enough.
So, I like that, and I don't have to keep it. It's not in my basement.
Fair enough.
So, but yeah, so that hook thing will be there. So, they do that. Kind of a, you know, pretty much the generic thing, but, you know, a little bit better. Feels a little bit like, oops, they accidentally did the contract signing segment too early.
Right.
So we gotta do this. So, everybody who's been a champion is in the ring. Except for Chris Jericho, the first guy that unified the champions. But whatever.
It was everyone who was a champion who they had on hand at
right,
the time.
Right, yeah. Right. So,
Hulk Hogan was there either.
Well, yeah, but Jericho unified the champions. Remember that?
He did.
That's kind of like, but you know, whatever. And then, in the middle of Triple H's speech, the crowd took control of the show.
Which they really should have, seen that coming. I don't know if, you know, because there's so many things being said on the dirt sheets where, you know, that was a plan. They weren't expecting the crowd to take over like that. That thought should have crossed their mind because they're in Seattle, Daniel Bryan's hometown or home state.
Mm-hmm.
Aberdeen's close enough. So, I don't really know that, but whatever. But, you know, it's his home state. He's a big Seahawks fan, and this is a big Seahawk-friendly crowd. It was going to happen. Like, you were going to get the usual Daniel Bryan reaction from the fans, which is, so you know, pretty notable on its own. Add to the hometown thing.
I didn't see
it. And then they had him in the ring.
They did have him in the ring. That is playing with fire.
Exactly.
I don't know if I would have said they should have known it, because I've never known Washington to be one of the more rambunctious and outspoken crowds. They're not Chicago, you know.
I don't know, man.
But
watching home games for the Seahawks lately, I'm not surprised.
But you know,
but again, this is a lately thing. Like, this is something that's happened. That's been a more recent occurrence,
right?
You know.
So, but whatever. The thing is, the crowd just they stopped the show.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, I gotta appreciate Brian in that moment. Like, he just stood there and grinned.
How could you not?
Gotta be so.
It's one of the things where it looked like he could not control himself from smiling his face off, you know?
Which I totally understand, because, yeah, his job was to walk out, you know. Of course, he was gonna win the thing, so he'll come out and,
yeah,
you know, take that win and make eyes at HBK for, you know, that little teasing. Right. But then, yeah, his main event job was to walk out to the ring, stand silently in the ring with everyone else.
Watch it all kind of break down, mm-hmm, and maybe still get involved in what happened.
Right. But, yeah, to have that, like, happen in the middle, God, that's got to be a good feeling.
It has to.
So, congrats to him. And, yeah, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm saying, like, they have to acknowledge this and this Daniel Bryan thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they'll do, and I don't know how drastically this will change any plans that they had.
But, yeah.
You know.
I mean, the only thing that would have made that crowd any louder was if Daniel Bryan had a championship match right then and there. You
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Then it would have almost been like Chicago in 2011.
Right.
You know? I don't know if what happened at the end and all the breakdown and who got involved with what, I don't know if that's going to lead to anything. It could have just been like, hey, this is something excitable, so everyone mm-hmm. will go buy the TLC. Because that was my first reaction when the show went off. I was like, well, I don't feel so bad about, you know, paying for TLC right now.
Yeah.
Which is something I have not felt in quite a while. In 2013.
Well, here's the thing is, I really feel like that moment, that Daniel Bryan chant, really rejuvenated the entire segment. Like, after that moment, Randy Orton kicked it up a notch on yep. the promo, delivered a killer heel anger promo. Mm-hmm. Cena,
who the crowd was completely against the moment he came out, mm-hmm. he basically acknowledged Daniel Bryan, and basically from that point on, the crowd kind of lightened up on him.
Right.
You know? And to be honest with you, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Might be looked on as like a little cheap, but it got the job done.
Cena delivered a perfectly solid promo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some nice lip service to both the titles kind of thing.
Yep.
The hanging, I got on board with the weird, like, let's just hang the belts here for a while. I do really need to point out, Randy Orton did not have a match tonight, or that night.
Nope.
Yet, he still did not wear pants.
Nope, he did not wear pants.
So he specifically
did not wear pants.
Yes.
For this.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, if
I mean, that's the, and like, having thought of that, I'm like, I don't 100% remember the last time I saw Randy Orton wear pants. Like, he's constantly in t-shirt.
Maybe it's in his contract.
It might, I don't know.
Randy Orton must never
wear pants
on camera.
I don't know. I haven't seen it happen.
I must not wear pants
in quite a while.
Run into Stephanie McMahon.
But yeah, but then the breakdown thing happened.
And Triple H leveled Randy for running into Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
And now everyone's like, oh no, he's gonna turn on Randy. And apparently some like weird like fake half apology happened on SmackDown between the two of them. I don't know.
I don't know how, you know.
I mean, and it's not like, you know, things were great between them on, you know, in character.
To begin with,
because you're starting to be like, oh, maybe we picked the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you know what? Like, I don't know how much the WWE as a corporation pays attention to, you know, the corner of the internet that whines and complains and smarks out about everything.
Yeah.
But they know it's there.
Oh, yeah.
And they know what it says.
And there's times where they, you know, they give us a little taste of what mm-hmm. we want, and then, you know, they go back about their business.
When Cena did the, like, how about I do a heel turn thing, and then the dancer, like, they know it's there, and they know what it says.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the, like, final shot of Cena standing with the authority was anything more than, like, the, you know, holding the proverbial carrot in front of the donkey kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it worked. It totally worked. I'm gonna reach for that brass ring.
Even though, right, really, there. That picture was just, you know, it was the end of John Cena being the nice guy and helping Stephanie to her feet.
Right, right.
That was all it was.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, oh!
But look, he's standing with them, yeah, and they're looking down at Randy, and it's gonna be a thing, and now I wanna give you money.
Like I've said a few times already, it's like WWE finally woke up and be like, oh, that's how you sell a pay-per-view on a go-home show.
It's
working.
It's Stephanie's first episode not on creative.
She's not on creative.
And, like, I don't know how much, you know, say she had ahead of time versus how much say she really basically still has now, but, like...
I mean, granted, what she got was, like, promotion.
Right.
Essentially. But now I believe creative is more or less Triple H's.
Mm-hmm. And if he's gonna do this, then huzzahs all around. Like, that was a... Whew!
Yeah.
I'm excited, and, like, stuff was coming out of everywhere, and this guy was hitting that guy, and I was excited about all of it.
Yep.
CM Punk was punching, the Triple H was pedigreeing,
and Sean was super kicking,
Daniel Bryan was kneeing, getting hit.
It's like a weird 12 Days of Christmas.
Yep, pretty much. It was good. That's...
Yes.
No more contract signings ever. This is how you get me to pay for something.
Now, don't get silly. You know they're still going to do that.
Of course they're going to do that. But I'm just saying, you compare contract signing style storytelling to this, this is what's going to get me to shell out.
Fair enough.
For this guy, for a show. So.
It's either that or Hall of Fame town hall meeting. Like Rock and Cena.
That thing.
They made us hate a segment that featured Bret Hart and Mick Foley.
That's a hard thing to do.
It is.
And I still like Mick Foley for that part.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because it's Mick Foley.
Because it's Mick Foley. Mick Foley forever.
All right, so I guess what we need to do now is we need to go ahead and go through the TLC card.
Yep.
We start off with the kickoff show, which is another random, means-nothing type of match.
Mm-hmm.
Second one in a row for Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Going up against Fandango.
Mm-hmm. I don't 100%... know what to say, like...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how we reacted last time.
Everything I've said about Dolph Ziggler just still applies.
Copy and paste and put it here.
Maybe add a few extra exclamation points at the end.
Maybe a few expletives.
Yep, those...
Particularly the ones that start with F.
Sprinkle them in there wherever you feel appropriate.
And B's and S's and... Really, any expletive of any type.
Yep. Dolph Ziggler has to win it, right? Like...
Right? You would think so.
Please...
Come on, like, give it to us.
Yeah.
Give us that one thing. Just
that, yeah.
Give us that little sliver of hope where you gave him a win every once in a while.
Yeah.
Because we haven't gotten that. Well, we got it when he, you know, dropped the base on Damian Sandow.
But then he lost cleanly to Sandow when it was for the title.
Yes, when it was meaningful.
Yeah. So.
Oh, dear Lord. They actually have that on Wikipedia. okay, you'll see what I'm talking about. Next, we have the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Match for the Tag Team Championship. Kodust versus Rybacksel, and that's what I was scoffing at. Because,
yes, Rybacksel. Yeah. No, we talked about it before the show. The team name is not Rybacksel. The team name is... Hey, guys, remember Nexus? Nexus, guys! Remember? They're both on Nexus.
The two guys from Nexus that changed their name.
Yes.
I think they might be the only... Well, no, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt. But no, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to forget Michael McGillicuddy and Skip Sheffield. That's the team. Nexus.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's just another Nexus tag team.
Yep.
And don't let them fool you.
No. Big Show and Rey Mysterio, who are apparently too cool to have a team name.
However, I will cheer for this team if at some point Big Show throws Rey Mysterio akin to Colossus throwing Wolverine... In X-Men.
I think I came up with a name for him just now.
Team Softball?
Mysterio Show.
No.
No Mysterio Show?
Like Show Miz and Jera Show?
Yep. Is Mysterio Show as bad as Rybacksel?
I can't say that without sounding like Sean Connery.
I
Mysterio Show.
I had to say it a few times in my head before I was convinced that I should say it out loud.
Team Mysterio Show. Get really bad mush mouth.
Yes. And then the last team is the Real Americans. It's Codust.
Codust.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a decent match because, you know, Cesaro's involved and Codust.
I honestly, I think they got to make it four. And basically somebody looked at the tag team division and was like, there's a lot of face tag teams and basically Real Americans for the heels. So that's why Remember Nexus Guys became a tag team. That's why Tons of Funk
might be looking like they're turning heel.
But keeping face Funkadactyls, I guess?
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
Because of Total Divas?
Yeah. I think the only other thing that might happen is they might put the belts on Show and Mysterio.
They might, but I gotta hope that, like, there's still such a riding high on Codust.
Yeah.
And a well-deserved one that these guys will keep it.
Yeah. I'll give it, I'll give it 3.75 stars because it could be good.
All right, fair enough.
It's probably gonna be one of those weird ones where only two guys are in the ring at the time, but anyone can tag in.
Yeah,
those are always weird to me. At least have four in. Tornado tag.
Or always tornado tag.
Tornado tag is always the
always
answer.
A fan of a tornado tag.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't had one of those in a long time.
I know. Fix this.
Yep. Next, we have the Intercontinental Championship. We have Big E Langston going up against Damian Sandow.
Big E's the new favorite.
Yeah.
Cena's back, you know, so he's got the ear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Big E's gonna...
He's the a friend of the guy who has the ear.
Yeah. So...
I think I found the title of a new book. The Friend of the Guy Who Has the Ear.
Ooh, that's weird. I like it.
Thank you. All right.
I'm give it to Big E.
Big E, and I like both of these guys, so I'll give it four.
Yeah, it's like, to be fair, but there's some four potential mass. Here, so rock on.
Yeah, four mass. Next, we have the Divas Championship. It might be one of the better ones we've seen in a while. AJ versus Natalya.
I mean, it's been AJ versus the Total Divas roster, and we finally got to Natalya, so good.
And I made this point now because they're not shooting Total Divas right now.
So they're not going to have a cast member win the title.
Exactly.
Without shooting.
Exactly. Because, you know, the season finale for season one is this Sunday during a pay-per-view, oddly enough. I don't see them, if they're going to put the belt on one of the Total Divas, it'll absolutely happen whenever the cameras are rolling for them.
Right. I concur.
So AJ will, I think she'll get the win, but it still might be a really good match.
I am actually looking forward to this match.
Yes, absolutely. And you should too. I'll give this 4 stars.
4 maths for Divas match.
I like how every single time we do this, I almost say star. Every single time. Sometimes I do say star.
You said star earlier tonight.
I did?
Yeah, I let it go. Yeah, but let's have it on record that I noticed it, so it's not that it slipped by me.
I should have said anything. Moving on, we have the first of the 2 3-on-1 handicap match. We're gonna go CM Punk versus The Shield.
Well, honestly, I kind of feel like one of these is gonna be won by the three, and one of them is gonna be won by the one.
Yeah, and this is the one. This is the one that feels like the three is going to win.
I give this one to the three and the Wyatts to the one. I concur with that.
I feel like Shield is going to win this by any means necessary type of thing.
Honestly, this is just like four incredible.
Yeah, I mean, gentlemen. I don't really care who wins. This is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah,
you know.
And Punk is still my favorite, so I'm guaranteed more Punk ring time than anybody else. So like, this is a really kind of tailor-made match for me. The only thing that can ruin the Shield is if they decide that the breakup happens at this show.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's something that we know is going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Now they're kind of going back into the hot streak right now. Mm-hmm. So we'd prefer if it didn't happen right now, but, you know, maybe that hot streak will transfer into, you know, the breakup storyline.
Right, so this one I give to the Shield with the Wyatt family giving that to Dane and Bryan.
Yeah, so with CM Punk and Shield, I'll give it 4.75 mass, I think.
Okay.
Because I think it's everyone involved is going to go really good. Mm-hmm. Now moving to Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family, I think this is Daniel Bryan's, you know, embrace the hate type storyline. Like, it's really is, it's something to keep them occupied for right now.
Right, yeah.
But could easily be dropped, you know, in next month, just, you know, move on to something else.
He can beat...
This is his...
he can beat Bray at a singles match on Raw at any point, and that's the end of the feud.
Right. And, but essentially this is, you know, Daniel Bryan's storm before he's on his way back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But yeah, I can absolutely see Daniel Bryan winning this. And I'll give it, I'll give it 4 even.
Alright.
Just because, you know, Daniel Bryan's great. He's probably reasons for most of those maths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like Bray. I still go back and forth on Harper and Roland. They haven't shown me anything that they're.
They've not excelled. They've not disappointed. But they've not excelled.
There you go. Exactly. So yeah, I think we both agree that Daniel Bryan is probably going to win this.
Yeah.
And then we get to the main event, the TLC match to unify the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship, John Cena versus Randy Orton.
I will predict.
Yep.
That John Cena wins this match.
Yeah, I've got to agree.
Is that your prediction?
Yeah.
Because either he'll win, being yay champion at the end of the day, Cena's still champ, high above the defeated, being, or through some shenanigans he'll win, or yeah. Through some shenanigans Randy will try.
I mean, the other thing is that, you know, they'll come up with some weird thing where, you know, the division between Orton and the Authority was on purpose and it was all part of some sort of plan or whatever.
Right.
For him to be, you know, the unified champion.
Right.
There's that, but I still see Cena winning.
The only way I can see Cena losing is if the Authority comes out, makes sure that Randy loses, like Triple H pedigrees Randy. And then, you know, like, stands there to do, like, a mock applaud for Cena to take it. Because now that Cena's back, the face of the company's back. And John Cena's like, no, not this way. And, like, drags Randy Orton up the ladder to grab the belt. Well, he's like, I will beat him fair and square. I will not, you know, be a pawn of the Authority. And, like, really good guy forever, Cena. Like, this is the... I'm not recommending this.
No, because that sounds really bad.
No, let me just... This is a thing that I could see happening.
Yeah. The other thing I could see happening is them both, you know, up at the top of the ladder at the same time and both grabbing belts and, you know, by accident, by chance, they both grab one of the belts at the same time.
Grab the other belt and fall down. That's the other thing.
You know, and Cena ends up being the WWE champ again.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I guess they could use the little two-hook thing again. We'll try again next month.
Right? So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that they can go with this.
I mean, honestly, this is the match, and I guess this is, you know, works, you know, for them. This is the match I'm most interested in seeing. Like, I'm most looking forward to CM Punk and The Shield. But I'm most interested in seeing what they do with this match.
I'm interested in the finish of the match. For the match itself, I really could care less, because we know what we're going to get. We've seen this way too many times.
Yeah.
So,
but it's TLC. I love me a TLC match.
Yeah, and I do too. But, you know, I'm just not thrilled about seeing a John Cena and Randy Orton. We've read that book way too many times, and it's just, there's nothing new that they could do that's going to wow us.
No. Really. I really...
And unless they absolutely, unless they've been holding out on us. And like, oh yeah, we can do so much more, and then they you know, blow our minds.
I mean, I do really hope and believe that they need to be going both 100%. It's the title unification match, like, you know.
Yeah, like, they
this should be a big deal, you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, the final segment on Raw seemed to really elevate it to make it feel like a bigger deal.
Right.
So
I mean, that was a little bit of a problem was this, you know, the whole idea of the unification kind of got announced and almost like a, by the way, this
yeah. Thing.
So, you know, yeah, it felt like it was supposed to be a bigger, more important deal than it actually was.
Right.
Until this Monday. I was like, oh, okay, there, you know, people care.
Right, absolutely.
Well, looky there.
So yeah, we both got Cena winning. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give it 3 maths just because I don't really care.
Okay.
And 3 maths really seems to be my 0 maths lately.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I feel like I do need to throw in great time for a Cena heel turn. It feels to me, okay, and I know
you've been saying that a lot. Like, you've said that for the past few episodes.
I've said it very specifically about this thing.
I know.
And I do. I try really hard to kind of, like, weave away from perfect time for seeing a heel turn because it's the lazy card, I feel, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so, and yeah, unless something even more, quote-unquote, perfect comes along after this match, I will not continue to, you know, go to that well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For every Cena-related thing. But I did want to bring up, like, how likely do you think it could be?
For a Cena turn?
Yeah.
I've given up on it.
Yeah? You don't think
whatever, it'll, I mean, it might happen someday.
Here's the
it, but I'm gonna stop speculating.
Honestly anymore, though, here's the thing. I fully believe it will happen someday. Yeah. Hogan turned. You know, like, yeah, it will at some point someday it will be, quote, best for business for Cena to be a heel.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the far more likely thing is, and I would honestly be interested in, is the heel authority trying to back the face Cena. And, you know, there's a lot of that kind of conflict. I would be interested in seeing how that plays out. I mean, right, it sounds like a train wreck, but...
Well, yeah.
It
would be different, though.
But this is the first time since Cena joining the Nexus, where it's like, it looks like they are really setting up the board for all the pieces to be in line for a Cena heel turn.
Yeah.
Which is why I've brought it up again this time, is... I mean, so, that was in 2010, at the end of 2010, now at the end of 2013. So, after this, nothing until 2016.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, this is it. This is where I'll lay down the, you guys, this would be pretty good.
Right.
But, yeah, after that, nope. And we're back.
All right.
Is that it?
That's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. And this comes in from our friend Rhett. Who?
Really paused on the word friend there, Chris. I feel that Red is a friend.
Red is a friend. No, he is a very good friend, and he was a special guest for us just after WrestleMania,
mm-hmm,
for our big year ahead of time predictions, and he will be featured on our Class Ring Attire 100.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've announced that yet, exactly what we're going to do for that, but... You know, at least one person's going to be on there.
You'll see.
But this comes from him, and he asks, do we think that Daniel Bryan's yes will be the same as the what chant that just won't die in a few years?
I think if anything has a chance to be what, it'll be yes.
Yeah.
Just because it's so easy to say.
And, you know, when fans like something, that's an easy way to show it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't like something, they'll do no.
It largely depends on how well it works in non-Brian situations.
Yeah, and I mean, they've used it in non-Brian situations plenty.
Yeah, they have.
Know? There was a part where everyone was scared that Big Show was trying to take it, you mm-hmm. know. But, you know, it's not as loud as it is when Daniel Bryan's out there, but...
Right.
But it's still there.
I think it's a time-will-tell thing, but yeah. I will say that this is the first thing since what?
That has a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Alright.
Cool, cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yep.
Alright. As always, remember, you can follow us on Twitter. Yep. Lots of fun. @CRAttire. You follow us there. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. Good times are had by all.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring up on the show, if you want to send stuff for the mail sack, send those to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up there. Classy Ring Attire on iTunes. You can subscribe. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
We'd be really appreciative. You write a review. All that stuff goes, really helps out the podcast.
Yep.
Helps it be seen by new eyeballs. Great times are had by all.
Eyeballs? It's an audio podcast.
Earballs.
Earballs. And if you're using your earballs to listen to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. Your comment could be featured here on the Mail Sack segment as well.
Yeah. Finally, we are continuing through the WrestleManias. Yep. And as always, that is exclusive to the iTunes. So just to reiterate, I don't know how I got both the iTunes plugs.
It just happened.
Happened. But seriously, you guys, iTunes.
iTunes, guys. iTunes, earballs.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.